This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Unasikiza 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Yawaz hai Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Oh hi Pacifica Toy Kissing Sea.
Chaliye, aaj hum sab mil karke is dharti pe shanti ke liye prarthna kare.
Tum to mun nahi le sathar. Chaliye lang dao le. Bir, tum to la Pacifica Radio KPFT 90.1 FM.
Kiss on her.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
In addition to all those other languages that you hear on KPFT, you hear queer language.
That's right.
And tonight, this is Deborah Bell.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Glenn Holt.
And we're all suffering.
And we're Queer Voices tonight.
Yes. And we're all suffering from allergies, but Jack Belinsky, his allergy was causing him to lose his voice. So I said, well, okay, I'm brain dead from my allergies, but I guess if you have no voice, you can't very well do radio.
No,
so.
It's awfully hard to see the signing on radio.
And I keep telling him to drink hot lemonade. That's an excellent cure for laryngitis. But people say, oh, I got penicillin. I'm like, trust me, the hot lemonade's the way to go.
I've never gargled with penicillin.
Well, you don't gargle with the hot lemonade either. You sip it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know what, folks? We are still in our pledge drive, and that means that we are asking you to do your part in supporting KPFT and supporting Queer Voices. So please call in tonight, 713-526-5738. I believe our lovely volunteer Steve is still standing by, or sitting by,
he's
rather.
Cute.
Yeah, he is. Mm. And
if I was interested.
He's a big believer in free speech, and that's why he supports KPFT, and there's lots of reasons to support this station, and we hope that you will. We want to hear those phones ring tonight. We did pretty well last week, but we could do better. And, you know, last week we had a we were supposed to have an interview with the artist Diana Jones, and there was a mix-up, and she wasn't able to call in. So JD and I talked about that she was going to be coming to Mojo Rising for an appearance, and that we played some of her music. JD played some of her music.
Right.
Actually, I think it was Glenn that played the music. Somebody played her music. But some lovely listeners, a male and female older couple, heard that music and was so touched by it that they decided they had to go out to the concert.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, that's one of the interesting things, because while we are Queer Voices and we try to represent as best we can the GLBT segment of the population, we certainly have our allies and supporters, our straight
Absolutely.
Friends. And many people listen to this program because they enjoy the politics, they enjoy the information. You know, coming up on the show tonight, we have a wide variety of events.
Yes.
And things to talk about. Everything from the insane to the profound.
Speaking Do I get the insane? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, we're going to have Carol Wyatt, who is the president of Pride Houston, and she's going to be telling us all about this year's events and parade.
Ah, and Deb Murphy's going to be here with Hatch to talk about the Hatch Prom that's coming up on June 8th.
And that's a really important event for GLBT youth and their supporters.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You don't have to be a member of Hatch to attend. They welcome all folks to take part in that. So you can get dressed up and go out dancing, have the prom you always wished you could have had.
They didn't let you come to. You get to come to this one.
And now we're having some trans people that are becoming the drag...
Prom queens. I loved it.
Prom queens and prom kings. We also have... Andrea Perez and Dennis Draper, they're going to be talking about Act Out at the Alley for GLBT theater for fans and friends. And this is a very exciting production, Treasure Island.
Arr.
I always say that before they had Pirates of the Caribbean, they had Treasure Island. And they're going to talk about the swashbuckling pirate adventure stage presentation. And there's a little trivia that we're going to share. And
oh, really?
I'm not sure if they're going to have ticket giveaways, but if they do, the thing...
We get them first, right?
Yeah. I requested that they send, if they had any Johnny Depp or Orlando Bloom lookalikes, to send them, but they didn't have any of those.
Oh.
But they did tell me that the swords that Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom used in the movies are going to be used in this play.
Oh, wonderful.
So I guess that's
a little
exciting.
Significance. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And then Paul Scott, the executive director of Equality Texas, will share some some of the goings on at the legislature. Hey, I always remember what a great comedian always says: anytime that the Congress or legislature's in session, our life, liberty, and property is in danger.
Yeah, well, that's when we only let them meet every 2 years in Texas.
But those other people let them meet all the time.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of bills have been passed and which ones were thwarted thanks to Equality Texas and other groups that have been working. I got the notice of the end of session party that they're ready to have in a few days.
Are we invited?
Yes.
Do we need to cover?
Yeah,
Queer Voices needs to cover the end of session party.
Yeah, we can go to Austin and party. And because kind of see how we fared. We could have done better, but anyway, Paul will share that information with us. So those are just some of the kinds of things that we bring to you and share with you, and that's why it's important that you support us being here. There has been queer programming on KPFT since the beginning in one form or another, and they have supported our programming over the years, whether it was Waldenstein, Lesbian and Gay Voices, and now Queer Voices, as well as After Hours, and all through the programming of other programs. They're very inclusive. They try to make sure that all human rights issues are covered. And certainly, as we said in 1993, at the March on Washington, was that this was the unfinished civil rights agenda.
Absolutely.
The inclusion of the GLBT population. There was a ruling in Massachusetts that... No, or was it the ruling in New York? It was one of those places, but... Okay, the ruling was in New York that people, same-sex couples, that had married in Massachusetts under the same-sex marriage laws...
Right.
...had to be recognized in the state of New York during that time period before there was any kind of ban on same-sex marriage in New York. So... That means some people could be married and be same-sex, but they wouldn't be considered married if they had been married somewhere else, or if they can't get married. Some people can't get married now. You can go to a completely different state, and you would not be considered married. That is crazy.
I don't know that I kept up with all of that. I hope somebody out there did. And
probably Phyllis Fry.
Oh, Phyllis will know exactly. I'm sure she does.
But I'm trying to get my head around it about how you can be married and not be married just because you might step over a state line.
Well, I mean, supposedly the Constitution says that laws in one state are recognized in another state. It's only under the current reactionary governments around the country that have said, no, we don't. Yes, that's true, except for this one.
Well, in certain political parties.
Yeah. But,
a lot of reactionaries out there.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's that whole attitude that somehow we should be allowed everything, but not marriage. That marriage has to be held in this, male-female dichotomy only. I just don't understand, that it used to be that there were restrictions on races.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't.
African Americans
and
Caucasians
banned.
Could not marry one another legally. And yet, when that law changed and they were allowed to marry integrated couples, then you were, if you married in Texas, you were still married if you went to Minnesota, and you were still married if you went to California.
It's called prejudice.
Well, I think it's without due process. I think gays and lesbians are being penalized without due process.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you want to charge us with something and say that that therefore takes away our right to marry. But otherwise, I mean, who made, how does this rule come about?
They got elected. And they passed,
you know what?
Laws.
Jimmy Carter was right, too, what he
absolutely
said.
Absolutely. Gosh, all the hoopla about what he said, and he hit it right on the head.
And how the audacity of the Bush administration to say that he has become increasingly irreverent. I mean, please. They just can't stand hearing the truth, is what I think.
They don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah, but I agree with Jimmy Carter. And, I mean, look at the polls. What is it? 26% approval rating for Bush? That's the lowest of anybody ever, and I'm really wondering about those 26%.
We have somebody standing by out in Pledge Central to give us an update.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Let's hear it.
So, now that I've said that, I hope that we still have somebody standing by.
Well, at least we can hear what's going on.
Sitting by, waving at us.
Well, that's right.
What's going on out there?
Well, remember, there's a bit of an audio delay for our sound to get out there, because they're 8 seconds away from us.
They're just right down the hall. Yell to them, man.
But
is that anything like a tongue?
Okay,
war?
I'm not hearing.
It is.
Hearing anything.
Hello?
Yes. Speak up.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I'm out here in Pledge Central. We have a volunteer ready, willing, able to take phone calls. The number is 713-526-5738. No phone calls yet, but the show has just begun, and there's still plenty of time. 713-526-5738.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
So, again, 713-526-5738.
Yes, it's 713-526-KPFT. Call. Come on and pledge. There's a lot that goes on at our station. You're not just pledging for our show. We want you to during our time on the air, so we get credit for it. But the most important is that KPFT gets credit for it. And there's
it's
so much
GLBT on KPFT, PLEDGERIGHTNOW.
What?
MOUSE.
Pledge now.
And
right
while,
now.
What we're going to do is we're going to go to NewsWrap from this way out. Like we
That'll
normally do.
That'll give folks a chance to call 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT.
And remember that it is only your pledges that allow us to bring you this.
I'm Don Lupo.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 19th, 2007. The third annual International Day Against Homophobia, or IDAHO, was observed in some 50 countries around the world on May 17th. That's the day in 1990 when the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from its catalog of mental illnesses. Public events, from street demonstrations to online actions, commemorate that day by drawing attention to the continuing discrimination and violence LGBT people face on a daily basis in many countries. Human Rights Watch marked the day by publishing its annual Homophobia Hall of Shame. Because of their continuing anti-queer actions and statements, Pope Benedict XVI, U.S. President George W. Bush, and Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad topped the list.
IDAHO events were held in several cities across the UK, while a demonstration organized by the British Youth Council outside the Polish embassy in London protested the well-documented homophobia of that country's leaders. Poland's Education Minister, Roman Giertych, announced legislation this week that would make it a criminal offense to promote homosexual propaganda in schools, essentially censoring all classroom discussion of homosexuality, and stating that teachers who reveal their homosexuality will be fired. Prime Minister Jarosław Kaczynski and his twin brother, Lech Kaczynski, Poland's president, have each endorsed the bill, all but ensuring its passage in Parliament.
In Australia, the Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby urged friends and families of lesbians and gay men to send a supportive email on the International Day Against Homophobia to their local MP and speak out against injustice and demand that all human beings are treated with dignity and equality.
In Ankara, Turkey, an international anti-homophobia meeting began on May 17th and was scheduled to run until May 21st.
The Macedonian Association for Free Sexual Orientation released a new book analyzing international law, LGBT-related legal issues, and cases of discrimination.
LGBT organizations in the Ukraine protested at the International Academy of Personnel Management against the expulsion of an openly gay student last year and handed out leaflets condemning homophobia, racism, and xenophobia.
Among several Idaho actions in Canada, placards with slogans such as "Love is for everyone" and "Hate is not a family value" dotted Grand Parade Square in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where more than 200 people also mourned the recent gay bashing deaths of two local men.
Nepal's leading queer advocacy group, Blue Diamond Society, published its first issue of The Pink, a magazine dedicated to sexual and gender minorities in Nepal and South Asia. The group also held the country's first LGBT film festival in the capital of Kathmandu.
The organization Pro-Gay Philippines hosted a film exhibition and roundtable discussions addressing homophobic discrimination.
In Guyana, May 17th was marked with a screening of Songs of Freedom, a film about the lives of gay and lesbian Jamaicans, by director Philip Pike.
The International Lesbian and Gay Association, or ILGA, hosted a first-ever Pan-African conference in Johannesburg in the week leading up to the International Day Against Homophobia. About 60 activists discussed their first-hand knowledge of laws that breed homophobia and strategies to overcome it. 38 of 85 United Nations member countries that outlaw homosexuality are in Africa, according to an April 2007 ILGA report, which accused many African governments of institutionally promoting a culture of hatred against gay and lesbian people. In some areas where Islamic law is in force, homosexuality can be punished with death by stoning. South Africa stands alone on the continent in its progressive attitudes, last year becoming the first African nation to establish marriage equality for same-gender couples. Nonlana Makizi, director of the Durban Gay and Lesbian Community and Health Center, told the South African Press Association that, as the fifth country to legalize same-sex marriage, we urge our leadership to take the lead on the African continent and internationally in the struggle against all forms of prejudice against lesbian and gay people.
The European branch of ILGA announced that a number of mayors had signed its Pride Campaign Manifesto. Among the first were Bertrand Delanoy, the openly gay mayor of Paris and co-president of United Cities and Local Governments, Eleni Mavrou, the mayor of Nicosia, Cyprus, and Amsterdam mayor Job Cohen, who conducted the world's first same-gender marriages in 2001. Patricia Prendeville, executive director of ILGA Europe, said she hopes their signing on to the campaign will encourage other mayors to condemn homophobia generally, and in particular, encourage them to refrain from banning or otherwise limiting LGBT pride festivals and demonstrations.
There was a heavy police presence as about 5,000 people took part in a pride parade in Warsaw on May 19th, and for the first time with the official blessing, or at least grudging acceptance, by city officials. Mayor Hanna Gronkiewicz-Waltz had been pressured by right-wing elements in the Polish government to follow her predecessor's ban on pride parades for the past 2 years. But she said that would contradict the recent European Court of Human Rights ruling that last year's ban contravened EU laws supporting freedom of assembly and expression. The seven judges, including one from Poland, were unanimous. Unauthorized pride events in Warsaw were attacked by anti-queer mobs in recent years, but no incidents were reported this time.
But organizers of a proposed pride march in Moscow on May 27th were officially denied a permit during a meeting with city officials this week. They said they planned to hold some type of event anyway, despite brutal attacks by skinheads and religious fundamentalists on peaceful gatherings last year. Moscow activists have also launched a challenge similar to the one against Warsaw in the European Court of Human Rights to their city's previous Pride March bans. And officials in the Russian city of St. Petersburg this week also banned a Pride March planned there for May 26th.
Iranian authorities arrested 87 people, including 80 suspected gay men, at a birthday party this week in Isfahan, according to a report by the Toronto-based Iranian queer organization. The rights group said that witnesses told them by phone that police beat the male guests with batons and also arrested the host's parents. The female guests were released soon after, but according to the latest reports, the men remain in custody without bail or visitors. Male homosexual acts are punishable by death in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Rights workers said they feared the detainees could be tortured. An Iranian man was publicly hanged for homosexuality in November, and the hanging in 2005 of two reportedly gay teenagers prompted several European nations to begin granting asylum to Iranian refugees based on threats of persecution in their homeland because of their sexual orientation.
And finally, the deaths of a staunch supporter of equality for LGBT people and one of its most vocal opponents topped the news in the U.S. this week. Yolanda King, the firstborn child of Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. and Coretta Scott King, died at the young age of 51 of what a family spokesperson said may have been a heart condition. She was an actress and speaker whose company, Higher Ground Productions, was committed to celebrating diversity and embracing unity. She spoke often of the black civil rights movements paving the way for other social justice movements, including those of LGBT people. Last year, she told the annual Out and Equal Workplace Summit that discrimination under the rule of law still exists. If you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, you do not have the same rights as other Americans. For a nation that prides itself on liberty, justice, and equality for all, this is totally unacceptable. Human Rights Campaign President Joe Somenes called Yolanda King a true friend of the LGBT community, while the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force's Matt Forman said that, like her father, Yolanda King fought for racial and economic justice and challenged America to face up to these scourges. Like her mother, she was an unwavering voice for equality and justice for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people.
Reverend Jerry Falwell, perhaps the most recognizable face of the religious right in the U.S. for more than three decades, also died of heart failure this week at the age of 73. His successful fundamentalist Christian TV ministry bankrolled the creation of the Moral Majority in 1979 as a conservative political force, and Falwell took credit for the presidential election and re-election of Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. He later founded Liberty University, a faith-based college in his hometown of Lynchburg, Virginia. Falwell probably made more appearances on TV news programs and talk shows than any other religious right leader, usually condemning the moral decay of American society and railing most often against abortion and homosexuality. 2 days after 9/11, Falwell notoriously blamed the attacks on pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle. He later apologized for those remarks. He also called openly gay U.S. Congressman Barney Frank a pervert during a confrontation on CNN in 2002. Perhaps most infamously, Falwell claimed in 1999 that the purple, triangle-topped, purse-carrying Tinky Winky, one of the characters on the popular Teletubbies children's TV program, was role-modeling the gay lifestyle and was damaging to the moral lives of children. Those comments were ridiculed around the world. Virtually all of the major U.S. queer advocacy groups extended their condolences to Falwell's family and congregation, but lamented his often offensive and always abrasive opposition to LGBT civil rights. Reverend Mel White ghostwrote two books for Falwell before coming out as a gay man in 1999 and co-founding Soul Force, an ecumenical organization dedicated to fighting what they call spiritual violence against LGBT people. He said that, "It breaks my heart to think that Jerry died without ever discovering the truth about God's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender children. I sincerely hope that one day his school and his church will have a change of heart."
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 19th, 2007. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Don Lupo.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Jerry Falwell's favorite deacon scampered up the aisle at church, sporting lavender pajamas and a matching purple purse, with a triangle tiara and the cutest little hop. Tinky Winky made him do it. Even God can't make him stop. So now Jerry's on the Tinky with his soft and supple ways. How he captivates the children and recruits them all as gays. How he undermines their virtue, all that's manly, strong, and straight. Tinky Winky's tempting toddlers and they're going for the bait. Do you think that Tink's the Antichrist, the Winky Viet Cong, with his decadent accessories and tantalizing song? You beat the same old drum, Jerry, you stir the same old pot. Tinky Winky must be banned, Tinky Winky should be shot. Ah, but Tinky's hard to find out on a cold Wyoming night. where two losers cruise the bar scene and they're spoiling for a fight. But they do find Matthew Shepard, and he's small, alone, and gay. It's 2-1, they got a gun, they're taking him away. You know what happens next, Jerry, you know, and you know why. They left him hanging on a fence to bleed and freeze and die. The word is father to the deed you can't undo. No, it wasn't Tinky Winky, Jerry, maybe it was you. For the word may shine like lightning, but the thunder sounds like hate. If they came to get you, Jerry, would you care that they were straight? If you're holed up in the bathroom, would you finally understand why the policeman at the door has got a broomstick in his hand? Tinky Winky may be boring, Tinky Winky may be quaint, Tinky Winky may be holy and be canonized a saint. Tinky Winky may be dumb, Jerry, but when push comes to shove, Tinky Winky will not hate you, no matter who you love. Was scanning your old sermons, and in one of them I read, is it true? Is it loving? Does it need to be said? That's three strikes and you're out, Jerry, it's time to scrap the speech. Take a tip from Tinky Winky and practice what you preach. Why don't you practice what you preach?
And that was the Tinky Winky song by Charlie King from his 2001 album, I Struck Gold. And I thought that was kind of appropriate for the events in the news this week. This is Queer Voices.
Yes, this is Queer Voices. This is Deborah Bell. And, you know, of course, the whole thing was that Jerry Falwell, the recently departed Reverend Jerry Falwell, said that the character Tinky Winky on the Teletubbies, which is aimed at children age 1 to 3, was gay because he was purple, he had a triangle shape on his head, and he carried a red purse. I think that's pretty queer. But
maybe he was just trans.
Jerry might have been right, but you know, he used Jerry Falwell used to send a lot of fundraising letters and make speeches vilifying anyone who was gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and often blamed horrible natural disasters and things on
9/11.
Yeah, the events of September 11th, 2001
was all our fault.
And remember, you do not say 9/11.
Oh, that's right.
It's just 9/11. 9/11 happened. No, let's say what it was, the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001.
Okay, fine. It was all our fault.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to miss him because he always came up with so much that was just so stupid sounding.
Oh, so completely God. Off the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Off the fall well.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we can talk bad about him, I guess, if we want to, but best just let him rest in peace, don't you think?
Yes, I think so, that his passing has been noted and noted again.
So, fare thee well, Falwell.
Actually, it was interesting. Some of the commentators in the newspapers, like the New York Times, basically said that he wasn't really all that relevant to much anyway.
Well... So. No, I don't think so. I mean, for some people, for a while there, he did, you know, have the moral majority. But I think a lot of people are veering away from that mindset.
Well, he laid the foundation during the Reagan administration for the religious right to take over the Republican Party.
Exactly.
And terrorize anybody that was enlightened or thinks for...
Yep.
You know, politically. Anyway, just my opinion.
Because our listeners are so enlightened and think, they're going to pledge and support Queer Voices on KPFT.
They're
going to
call 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Well, we were supposed to have in this segment Carol Wyatt from the Pride Committee, but apparently she's been delayed. And another one of our guests, the lovely Deb Murphy from Hatch,
got here early.
Yeah, so we're just going to go ahead and talk to Deb about Hatch and
the prom.
Okay, so Deb, you're with the Montrose Counseling Center, which is the sponsoring organization for Hatch. I guess that's the way to say it.
Well, Hatch is a part, is a program.
A program.
A program of Montrose Counseling Center, and Hatch is in its 20th year this year, and we're very, very proud of that.
This didn't start out at the Counseling Center.
No. Hatch started out at First UU Church when a young woman said, I'm lesbian, and I want to talk to other young people about being gay. And we've grown from there.
Right. And there's a lot of peer support and adult mentors who have taken part over the years. And so how many years now has it been a program of the Montrose Counseling Center?
Oh, let's see. In December, it will be 5.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. And there are two paid staff.
There's two paid staff positions. We have a staff of 24 volunteers, which is what it takes us to run the program. Last year, we saw over 400 different youth. We see youth
400 individuals.
400 individuals. Youth come as far away as Silsby, for example, out there by Beaumont, or they might walk down from around the corner. We see youth whose parents know they're there, youth whose parents don't know they're there, youth whose parents have thrown them out of the house, youth who are sure they're gay, youth who are questioning. But the best thing we do is we end isolation for these young people. And I had a young man tell me a little while ago, you know, the best thing about Hatch, I went from being the queer kid in the room to the new kid in the room, and I can get past the new kid.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
because I was often the new kid at school, so I know how that feels. So what kind of services does the organization, people have to understand that Hatch was an acronym. It started off that way, but now it's just called Hatch. It doesn't really stand for anything anymore other than it's this hatching a future for these young people.
Well, the old acronym doesn't apply anymore.
Right.
We decided it wasn't inclusive enough, and especially left out our trans youth, and we didn't like that. So we've decided it's just Hatch. We've taken the periods out of the logo, but everyone knows Hatch. We're not going to give up that logo. We're not going to give up that branding. Now, if you were to buy prom tickets, you could see the lovely Hatch chick in a top hat and a bow tie and a little rainbow accent.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yours for only $25 per ticket. And Bill or I would be glad to sell you one. Simply call us at the office, 713-529-3590.
So that's a little chick, like from a chicken.
It's a little chick
baby
sitting in an egg cracked in half.
Uh huh.
And except for prom, he has on a top hat and a bow tie.
Oh, that's precious.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And is the group pretty well mixed between male, female? Are there more boys than girls?
There's a few more boys than there are girls. About half of our kids are youth of color. Sorry, it's not kids, it's youth. They let me, since I have dinosaur status, refer to them as kids, but they are youth. About half our youth are youth of color. About 60% are men, about 40% are women. We have about 5 or 6 trans youth right now in the mix. So everybody is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We have straight youth. At any given time, 10% of the youth who attend are straight, and they're there to support their friends.
Oh, that's great. So what are some of the services?
Well, let me talk a little bit about a Hatch meeting. You come in the room. It's social hour. You have a snack. You have a soda. You hang out with your friends. You make new friends. Second hour is some sort of a program hour. Let's see. Yesterday, we had staff in from Alley Theater who did a really wonderful exercise that allowed people to see multiple points of view on the same issue. And third hour is a peer-mediated small group where youth can talk about their issues in a safe and affirming space. We do car washes. We're doing this prom. And you may buy prom tickets by calling Bill or I at 713-529-3590. We go to the theater. We have the Alley is very, very, very good to us, and we appreciate them.
In fact, the Act Out program this Thursday will be in support of Hatch.
That's a good thing. We do in-school Hatch now. In partnership,
how does that work?
In partnership with communities and schools, we will do the peer-mediated support group section of Hatch at schools. This year, we had 13 in-school Hatch groups.
And that's at high school level?
High schools this year. We stuck our toe in middle school, and over the summer we'll evaluate both the high school and middle school programs and tweak them and try to make them more effective. And
How do most people hear about Hatch?
Well, when you look at their intake forms, we have them fill out a form that tells us how they found out about us, what they're interested in, what they want to work on, what they want their programming to be. More and more youth are finding us on the internet, which is wonderful because we're in the process of building something called Virtual Hatch House, where every youth in the world with access to a computer can come to a Hatch meeting.
Wow, that is really, I mean, that's really where you have to be. You
that
know, they're
so good.
They're giving those $100 laptops to the little bitty kids now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, it is the computer age, and cyberspace is so important. And it's a great way for young people who have access to computers to find out information that they would not have access to otherwise.
That's right.
Because, I mean, it just opens a whole new world.
Well, if it hadn't been for the internet, the trans community would have been a long time getting together as an organized group, movement, if you want to call it, around the world, because we were able to get on the internet and
find each other.
You right. know, we were so right. felt so isolated, and so Hatch doing that, I think that's just marvelous.
That is. And so tell us about the prom and why it's such a special event.
Well, this is our 15th anniversary prom. But we have challenged the youth. If the community will raise $5,000 in support of Hatch, both Bill Alexander and I, excuse me, will wear full femme drag to prom. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a big old bitch.
What was that?
I'm a big old butch girl. And
and proud of it.
Yes, Bill.
Yes, she should be.
Bill is a manly man, and I think the two of us in dresses might be hilarious.
The thought of you in a dress is pretty amusing, Dad, having known you for a number of years now. And, of course, it makes me think of that when you misspoke just a while ago, that famous personal ad with your former partner, Maria, who left us all too soon. Maria asked for, she put an ad out for a bold butch, but there was a typo and it said an old butch.
Oh, well.
So, you know, she...
Oops.
Wasn't that old at the time, but...
Yeah, but that was then.
Yeah, and this is now. But you're still a butch, and
you look cute in a dress.
Thank you.
Do you have a dress prepared?
I have a dress prepared, and I'm sure Bill has a dress prepared. And I don't think we're in too much danger of wearing these dresses, because to date we've only raised $867. So, you know, it wouldn't take much. Really, it wouldn't take very many people writing relatively modest checks to kick us over the $5,000 limit and put Bill and I in a dress. Now, should we be in dresses, I'm sure Outsmart will feature that hilarity prominently in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I know they will, because I already talked to Blaze.
It works the same thing way with KPFT. It just takes several people writing small amounts to add up to help us reach our goal for our pledges. And all our community groups depend so much on the generosity of the individuals, as well as some of the foundations, such as John Kellett's Foundation. Other than individual donors, is there any other money that comes to Hatch through, other than what the services they provide at the counseling center? Is there any state money that comes in? Or
I really can't talk about funding, since one of the beauties of Hatch joining Montrose Counseling Center is that's no longer my problem. But I can tell you, for example, for prom, our community has stepped up. We have a great many in-kind donations. All the food is covered. All the beverages are covered. The security for the event is covered. So, again, that's a matter of everybody putting in a little bit, and we'll have great food from great local caterers and restaurants, which will be listed on our website directly.
And who can attend the prom?
Anyone may attend the prom. If you are under 21, you get in for free. If you're over 21, we'd ask for $25 at the door. It's great.
And where is this door?
The prom will be at the historic Magnolia Ballroom at 715 Franklin, downtown Houston.
On
June 8th from 7 p.m. until midnight.
And is there a prom king and queen?
There will be a prom court, king, queen, prince, and princess.
Ooh. And I still get to be the diva.
Yes, you can be
yes,
the diva.
Yes, we're not taking that away from you.
Yeah.
Then.
And so, but do people need to get tickets in advance? That's advisable?
I would advise people to get tickets in advance. The last couple of years, we have had every space, regardless of its size, has some logical limit of people you can put into it. And we've been a little too crowded the last couple of years.
Wow.
So we really want to encourage people to attend the prom, but we really ask them to buy their tickets in advance.
So you can support by buying tickets and attending or donating that money towards the event to help the youth.
Yes.
Or you can just make a donation.
Please write prom in the memo line on your check.
And then you can also buy a T-shirt. And that goes towards
No t-shirts.
I thought you said that there was a t-shirt.
I'm sorry.
I may have said
t-shirt. I meant ticket. I apologize.
Okay. So, Hatch Prom, June the 8th, Magnolia Ballroom, 715 Franklin. That is a great place.
It's a wonderful space.
I think it's really lovely. And it's a big event for these kids. These young people.
What exactly
is the term youth? What is there a definition?
Yes, there is a definition that's used in this field, and it's 13 to 24. However, with Hatch, it's 13 to 21.
Okay. So, and once again, if someone wants to tickets, they can call
713-529-3590. It'd be better if you talk to Bill because he can work the machine, but I could write down the pertinent information and we could mess with the machine later.
And that's also the number to call if they want to find out more about the program.
For more information about the prom, about the program, about how you can help, give us a call.
And then website is
www.hatchyouth.org.
Okay, Deb Murphy from the Montrose Counseling Center sharing with us about the Hatch Prom on June 8th here on Queer Voices. Support us and support all our community organizations. Support KPFT by calling 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We're going to go to some music and hopefully be back with Carol Wyatt.
I hope so.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Ooh, baby Dyke, my baby Dyke, looks so butch on your motorbike. First you met a girl named Lynn, you had two dates, then you moved in. Maybe someday you'll have sex again, or make it with your ex again. Oh, baby Dyke, my baby Dyke, coming out don't mean bumming out. Don't listen to what others say, don't throw your frilly bras away. Lots of dykes like lingerie. Hey, I hear Dolly Parton's gay. Oh, baby Dyke, my baby Dyke, your bold demeanor is just like Xena. Don't throw your career away. Downward mobility, it's so passe. Though you enjoy self-sabotage, not everyone should do massage. Oh, baby Dyke, hold your lover tight, but an hour off is quite alright. You are together the whole week through. Take out the garbage and she comes with you. Go to the bathroom and she's there too. So tell your darling, skip the loo. You should play around, ooh, and explore. Maybe sleep around a dinosaur. Don't throw your life away on the first girl you meet who's gay. There's so much more to life besides being your first girlfriend's wife. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't throw your love away. Don't throw your life away. Don't throw anything away. Don't litter anywhere. Always burp your Tupperware. But never belch at softball games. And alphabetize your recipes. And color code your dental dams.
The Kinsey Six from 1999. And their song Baby Dyke from their album Boys to Girls, and that's girls spelled with a Z at the end. And again, that's the Kinsey 6, as in S-I-C-K-S. This is Queer Voices. And before we go any further, we're going to jump out to the lobby to Pledge Central and see what's happening out there.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Do we have anybody to thank? Has anybody been calling in?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, it's very important. It's very important.
Yes, it is.
That our listeners call in and participate in the program and the life of this station by calling 713-526-5738 and pledging your support for the kinds of things that you hear here on KPFT and on Queer Voices in particular.
Yes.
We have volunteers standing by. We have 6 phone lines, no waiting. And it is really important that we get those calls coming in, that we get people phoning in and pledging support. Because if you like what you hear on the show, it's important that you let the radio station know that with your voice, your vote of confidence. And it can be a very small donation, or you can donate something periodically on a monthly basis. We can do EFT, credit card, check, even cash has been known to come in the door.
You can walk into the station and donate.
That's right.
Or you can go to kpft.org and donate.
There you go. You can donate online.
And like you said, you can use credit card, check, EFT, and let's not forget about a money order.
That's right. But the important thing is that you actually do the donating part.
Yes.
Because that's what allows us to do the kind of stuff that we do here. And speaking of which, here is Deborah Bell.
What?
Yep.
What about me?
Oh, well,
and
okay.
There's Jennifer Renee.
Well, here's Jennifer Renee then.
No, thank you.
Jennifer, are you doing this interview?
I was getting all depressed.
Oh, no. I'm just sitting in here keeping a seat warm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, no. You're just keeping the studio beautiful.
I had to have someone. We have to have a blonde in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Who are you going to blame if anything goes wrong?
We have 2 of them. You just can't tell because mine is incognito.
Well, and mine's just under a dye job. So
is that it?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you have blonde roots.
Yeah. Well, I actually have silver roots, but that's another story.
Well, that's a whole different story.
People will say, what color is your hair? And I'm going, I don't know, whatever, you know, number 47, whatever was in that bottle, I don't know.
See, if I had roots, they would be blonde.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Aww.
But Glenn says that because he's of the, you know, Yul Brynner persuasion.
He's follically challenged.
Man,
follically,
you know,
challenged. I understand that.
About bald men, they're very virile. I should know. I was married to one.
Incredibly sexy.
In a former life. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that.
Yeah, incredibly sexy. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, here, in support of incredibly sexy people at KPFT, you can pledge your support at 713-526-5738. We're counting on you. I'm getting depressed because those phones are not ringing.
Are you off your medication?
Thanks, Jennifer. You'll pay for that. No, it's so important that we do know that our audience appreciates what's done. Glenn said, you know, if you like what you hear, well, maybe they're not liking what they hear, but we need to know that too. So call in and make a comment or make a suggestion about something you'd like to have on the show or the things that have stood out to you over the years. Last week when we gave thank yous for donations, the people did make comments.
Yes. Well, usually they do.
Yeah.
And appreciate you, you know, call in, make a donation, of course, but if you like to leave a little note to us, you know, we'll read it, and if it's not too obscene, we'll read it on the air. You never know. You know, as long as it doesn't fit into those 7 words you can't say on the radio.
Yeah. Which are, no, we won't do that. We can get in bad trouble. Like $2,000.
Glenn would bleep it out.
I don't think he can react that fast.
Actually, yeah, I can. During the last interview. Yeah.
No. Oh, you bleeped out that? Oh,
yes,
how good.
Yes, I did.
Well, actually, that's not one of the 7 deadlies.
Well, I did it anyway.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Since they couldn't hear it,
and
they never know what
she was
said.
Butch.
Right.
Okay, so we're doing a little more flip-flop with our schedule.
That's right.
Flexible kind of people.
Well, hey, this is radio.
Yes.
And
yes,
we're all naked here, so
yeah, cause it's
please donate.
Studio. Nude radio, live. You know, they have that nude, the naked news.
Yes.
Like, what is it? Please. But we can do it here on radio because nobody
on
sees
logo,
us.
No.
And we all have the faces for the radio.
We have faces for radio, yes.
So we have
the bodies for radio.
Speak for yourself. Okay, so here on Queer Voices, we have very regular guests. I think we have a parking space that's marked for the alley out there. Adriana Perez, and you're the publicity manager?
I'm in charge of making sure the word gets spread to everyone about things going on.
At the Alley Theater.
Yes.
And Dan Draper, who's on the board.
Dennis.
Dennis. You know,
that's okay.
On my notes that I wrote down earlier, I put Dan. I just change people's names. Dennis Draper. And he's an Alley staff member, and he's on the board of PFLAG and Hatch.
PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation.
All
actually.
Right. And so Act Out is an event that's held with each production on the main stage.
Yes.
That is for the GLBT. And avocado community.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and their community and their friends to go and enjoy an evening of theater together. And the Alley always has an excellent show. I've never seen anything there that I didn't like, and most of it I have loved. It's such a talented repertory company, and then some of the special people that come in for different things, just outstanding. And How does this work with Act Out? That if you buy a ticket and you say Act Out,
yes, if you go, this final Act Out this final Act Out party for the season is for Treasure Island this Thursday, and when you buy your tickets, you can buy them over the phone or online. You can enter a promotional code and just type in Act Out 2, and 20% of the proceeds for the ticket sale will go to the PFLAG Hatch Scholarship, the Youth Scholarship Fund. And Dennis can talk a little bit about the fund in particular.
But how do you call?
The number, yes. The number is 713-220-5700, or you can visit us online at www.alleytheater.org.
Theater with an R-E.
That's right.
We always like to say. Okay, Dennis, so tell us a little bit about the scholarships.
Well, certainly. The PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship Foundation was something that sort of grew from PFLAG several years ago. Actually, I want to say it started in 1994, and they started giving scholarships to students in the area, in the Houston area, and it's grown to the point where I think this year we're hopefully going to give out about 18 scholarships. And it's for local Houston GLBT kids that are either in school here or that are going to school here. And you know, it's just a wonderful program. I found out about it several years ago and recently joined the board and have been working really hard at, you know, interviewing these kids, getting them ready, and hopefully we're going to pass out our scholarships in July. And it was really exciting since we do this Act Out program at the Alley. We decided it was important to sort of tie it into the community and be able to give back to the community to make it more of a wonderful purpose in it, other than just to hang out. Of course, it's great to hang out and just drink with your friends, but this is just a wonderful way to give back.
Well, we might say that the evening starts with a reception.
Yes.
There's great yummy food from Hunan downtown, and there's an open bar, and sometimes this time the special drink is
the Jolly Roger.
What else could it be?
I think it's going to have some rum, and
rum would have to be involved.
Pirate choice.
And last time when it was To Kill a Mockingbird, it was Tequila Mockingbird. Aren't they clever? But you get to socialize. There's people that I just see at that event every time, which is fun, you know, to say hi. You meet new people. You can network, cruise. People do.
Absolutely,
some people
yes.
do that.
I'd like to meet someone. I haven't yet. So
no,
you're out there.
And smile and flirt.
And, well, one of the things about it is, you know, they like theater. And if you like theater, then you've already got got something. You can say,
you have something in common
there.
Exactly.
And next thing you know, you're buying season tickets together for ACT OUT.
Or moving in.
We're just going to just take this whole life
over. Run with it.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us a little bit about this production of Treasure Island. It's before there were Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. This is the ultimate pirate adventure story. I mean, this is the one that sort of set the, set the stage for every single pirate movie, you know, the buried treasure, the parrot, X marks the spot. I mean, this is where it started. Exactly.
Long John Silver.
The peg leg.
Exactly. I mean, this is where it started. So, it's such a great adventure tale. And this production has, the set is amazing. The costumes, everything is just, is fantastic.
Now, there's something about the props that you shared with me, and I tried to get her to send either an Orlando Bloom or Johnny Depp lookalike, but she didn't have any of those. I'm sorry, Jane. James Black and Paul Hope.
They're all very, very good looking.
Yeah, but they don't quite make that. But you said there is a connection between Pirates of the Caribbean and Treasure Island, and what is that?
The weapons, except for Johnny Depp's, but all the weapons that we use in our show are from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Now, how did that get done? Do you have any?
I think there's a company that makes those swords for movies, and they, rent out those things. I think that's what I was led to believe. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
That is. I choose to believe it.
Yes, that sounds probable.
And you get to,
although
somebody gets to hold Orlando Bloom's sword.
Yeah, thank you. I bet those would sell on eBay for big bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they would.
So there's also another twist in this production that kind of falls into the GLBT category, which is the lead character, Jim Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Is played by a woman.
Very talented.
An amazing, amazing talented actress, Elizabeth Bunch, who is a member of our company of actors. And she plays the role of the 14-year-old Jim Hawkins. And she is, you see her on stage, and I mean, you see
a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah, you don't even think twice. You think this. I mean, she's so great that her everything is just, she's a 14-year-old boy, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, because I've seen her in a number of roles. Mm-hmm. She's everything from the bimbo to the sophisticated lady to just you name it, she can do it. And she's extremely talented and gifted and a joy to see her in the various roles and to always believe that she is the character she's portraying.
Yep.
Back to the PFLAG Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Support. Give me that website if people want to find out more.
If they want to find out more about the PFLAG Hatch Youth Scholarship, right now the only website that I can point you towards is the PFLAG website. It's pflaghouston.com, or I believe it's .org. .org, and there's a link to scholarships, and it'll tell you a little bit about it. It has the Youth Scholarship Foundation address, so if anybody's interested in donating specifically for a scholarship, I encourage that. That would be great.
And the youth apply for these scholarships?
They do.
Now, that process is already taking place for this year?
Yes. They start applying. The deadline is usually at the end of April, and they send in their application along with recommendations and with essays, and we review them, and we award those scholarships the first PFLAG meeting of July.
So it's like a totally, the process is pretty intense. And have they been able to follow any of the previous scholarship recipients, so what they've gone on to do?
We have so many very successful kids who have been given scholarships over the years, and we invite them back every year for our Spring Fling Dinner, where they'll come back and tell us what they've been up to. We have quite a few of these kids. In fact, one of our board members received a scholarship to go to school, and he's now a very successful lawyer. So, it's a wonderful way to support our community. Support these kids and watch them grow into wonderful, wonderful people. We joke, and our president of our board jokes, that one day we'll have a Supreme Court justice that we have given a scholarship to.
I hope that comes true.
That's the plan. Yeah.
There's no joking there. We desperately need that. So what else can you tell me about this production that you would think that people would be interested to know?
Well, I think, it's such, like I mentioned before, it's such a great adventure tale. And one of the great things about this production in particular is that most of the actors play different roles, and so you get to see them being, you see them don very, very many hats on stage. And there's a lot of little tricks, little effects that I don't want to give away, but it's just it's a fun show. And the event, come to the event and have a good time and support a really good cause.
Yeah. The reception starts at 5:30, and then you go down about 7:15 for the play that starts at 7:30.
That's correct.
And it's Thursday, May 24th, starting at 5:30 for the party, the performance at 7:30. Call for tickets 713-220-5700 or go to the web at alleytheater.org. Enter the promotional code ACTOUT2. I hope we can do this. It's kind of tricky when we're in pledge drive, but if people call 713-526-4000 and they can tell us what is the name of the main pirate in Treasure Island, we will give them a pair of tickets. We have two pairs of tickets to give away for Act Out Treasure Island. Thank you so much, Adrian, Anna, and Dennis. For being with us on Queer Voices. And call now with your pledge of support, 713-526-5738.
713-526-KPFT, Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT, Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org. You can also demonstrate your solidarity by taking part in an online benefit auction. Look for the This Way Out area at alternabid.com. Again, to find out more about special CD thank you gifts, subscriptions, and the auction, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
Marriage equality advocates planned actions across the U.S. this week to commemorate the third anniversary of the legalization of same-gender weddings in Massachusetts. The celebration was even sweeter for 170 New York gay and lesbian couples whose Massachusetts marriages were upheld because they took place before their home state explicitly banned such unions. In honor of all the happy couples and the couples still hopeful that their day will come, we take out This Way Out's Massachusetts Weddings album to review our coverage of the big day.
The courts have spoken. It's a sign from God.
Hallelujah! We'll be a married couple, not one that's odd.
Speak for yourself.
We'll say I do. And then we'll tour Cape Cod, and we'll never be lonely anymore. Because we're
Massachusetts.
six, they say it's okay, Mary, going to Massachusetts for love.
Janice Lieber's Going to Massachusetts for Love could already be outdated if Governor Mitt Romney and the 1913 state law he's pushing prevail. That statute, which targeted interracial marriages in its day, prohibits non-resident couples from marrying if those unions would not be legally recognized in their home states. Political and legal wrangling over the law's enforcement and its constitutionality continues. But more than 1,000 resident Massachusetts same-gender couples did get their marriage licenses on May 17, 2004, the first day it became legal to do so in the Commonwealth. Cambridge jumped to be the first in the state to issue licenses to gay and lesbian couples at the stroke of midnight. They began lining up a full 24 hours before the doors of City Hall would open, excited, anxious, like the scene outside a rock concert venue, complete with a giant wedding cake. Their anticipation was shared by both queer and straight but not narrow supporters.
It's just an amazing day. I mean, just it's so historic, and to be here with so many other couples who have waited so long, I mean, the number of years of commitment that are probably standing here is pretty incredible.
The couple ahead of us is here 15 years. The couple behind us is here for 22 years. We're at 13 years. We're still feeling young, believe it or not. It's hard to imagine.
My name is Magali.
And this is Maria.
I'm Brahas Roman, and we've been together almost 10 years.
I'm just really excited and just so happy that there's a lot of people here and support, and it's really cool.
Even though I know there's a lot of people that don't want this to happen, overwhelming sense of just support and feeling the love, I guess. It feels really great. We help build communities just like any other family, just like any other couple.
Lifetime. We never thought this would happen, and it has, and it's a very emotional time. We considered civil union, but we knew that was not equal in its rights. Marriage is important because there's 312 different rights that we would not have had otherwise. Marriage is important because it's a way to celebrate our union in front of all of our family and friends.
We live a couple blocks away, and this is a historic moment, and we just kind of wanted to see what it was all about, and kind of regret it if I missed it living so close by, and I just, kind of wanted to be a part of all this.
Yeah, and I know for me, I mean, in addition to all of that, like, I really do support what's going on here. For me, I'm all for it. Like, I've never understood personally why it was so much of an issue more than anything. Like, I've always thought it was, it was a stupid issue in the first place, and I'm just glad that they finally can do it.
Later that day in Boston, what is usually routine became historic as dozens of lesbian and gay couples filed for marriage licenses at the same City Hall Registry Division that issues parking stickers and tax forms. They emerged two by two, waving their validated license forms to a cheering crowd.
I'm Deb Putnam, and I'm 41, and we've been together 16 years. I think everyone's really enjoying the moment. One thing I really like about this is that everyone's doing it a little differently. Some people are getting married like today. Other people are waiting to get the license. Other people, we're getting the license today, but we're getting married in June. Everyone's doing it a little differently, which is really nice. I really feel like all the opponents are going to kind of die off over the next year and a half. I think they're going to realize that the sky is not going to fall. Life's going to go on. Straight people will still get married. Life will, keep going the way it always has been.
I'm Mark Neal. I'm Charles Fuller. We've been together 22 years.
We live in Jamaica Plain.
The whole time to be a blushing bride and groom passed, 20 years ago for us. Anyway, so this is really about sort of protections for our family. And the reality is that social justice movements always come with a certain level of backlash, is that it really seems to release people, the best in human beings and the worst. And so we're prepared for it.
Among the happy brides and grooms filing at Boston City Hall were three of the seven plaintiff couples whose lawsuit led to the first legal same-gender marriages in the United States. They were welcomed by Mayor Thomas Menino, and each couple, Rob Compton and David Wilson, Julie and Hillary Goodridge, and Mike Horgan and Ed Malmelli, briefly spoke to the media. Attorney Mary Bonato of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, the group that successfully argued the Goodridge lawsuit before the state's Supreme Judicial Court, also fielded questions.
Once again,
we've broken down a barrier in the city of Boston, the state of Massachusetts, and that's what this is all about. It's giving people the right to marry. I'm so proud of these individuals today that come forward and really express themselves. They want to be bonded together for the rest of their lives. And, you know, as mayor, I have the opportunity to choose. I want to be a mayor who represents all of Boston. I can't choose the issues. I'm mayor of everyone here. We're not going to discriminate against anyone who comes into our city. And that's so important to me as mayor. Long overdue. It's time to get on with it. And now these three couples have worked to the courts and get their certificates. They'll be married today. And I've never seen three happier couples.
Well, this is pretty overwhelming today. It's been a three-year battle, and as we approach this window, I was thinking, we've been here once before. Hopefully this time they're going to give it to us. And it was such a great feeling, and we want to just thank certainly all of the other couples that have worked with us. We want to thank GLAAD, certainly Mary Bonato, and thank our community who has been so supportive, and all of our allies. We just want to thank everyone for helping us get to this point.
Yeah, I think the only thing I really want to say is it feels good to have our family welcomed in the community of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's nice to be accepted and recognized.
Do you feel like you've been different? The three couples are married to each other for the time.
I'm pretty sure I'm marrying Hillary. That's the person I've wanted to marry for 17 years, and we're going to do it today. And next to the birth of our daughter, Annie, this is the happiest day of our lives.
It's exhilarating. It's absolutely thrilling, and we are so grateful. We're so grateful to our attorney, Mary, and everyone at GLAAD, and certainly to the mayor for his hospitality today. It's overwhelming. I'm so happy.
Did you ever expect really to see this in your lifetime?
Yes. We wouldn't have done it if we hadn't, you know, thought that it was a possibility.
What do you say to folks who feel that this is wrong, this shouldn't happen? What's your message to them today?
Come on over to our house for dinner and find out how, you know, normal and loving and boring we are.
Well, I mean, it makes a lot of legal difference to us now. Well, at 2 o'clock today, we will become next of kin. And we've never had a legal relationship to each other, even though we've had wills and powers of attorney and health care proxies and that sort of thing. And it's absolutely vital to our family and to protect each other for the rest of our lives.
It's just completely overwhelming. It's a wonderful day. It's been a long time coming. We were here 3 years ago. We didn't have quite the attention that we have here today, but it's quite a different response, and we're very happy for it. We were very confident. We had a very competent legal crew. We want to thank Mary Bonato, who's been completely wonderful through all of this. Early on, we didn't think that this would come out as quickly as we did, but we're very grateful.
Hi, I'm Mary Bonato. I'm an attorney at Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders here in Boston, and we had the great privilege of representing these three couples and four other couples throughout the Commonwealth, and today is a very happy day for all of us. It is an historic day. I really believe what many judges have said before, which is that the story of our country and the history of our country really is the process of extending constitutional rights to people who have previously been ignored or excluded, and as of today, the government may no longer deny marriage rights to these committed couples who, in some cases, have been waiting for decades to take legal responsibility for one another. That's something that we think is great for these families and great for the community as a whole. With respect to folks from out of state and the governor's present overbroad position about this 1913 law, we know without a doubt the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court said it's wrong, it's unconstitutional to deny marriage rights to gay and lesbian couples. You can't resurrect that 1913 law to do the same thing. So there's certainly some unfinished battles ahead, but we will get there.
Next door to the State House, where the decision that bears their name was handed down, Julie and Hillary Goodridge were married at the Unitarian Universalist Association headquarters that afternoon. Together for 17 years, and with 8-year-old daughter Annie as flower girl ringbearer, the pair practically ran down the aisle while jubilant witnesses serenaded them with updated lyrics to a familiar tune.
Here come the brides, so gay with pride, blissful triumphant and tanned by plague lights, lovely to see,
legally free, finally hitched by a 4-3 decree. Here come the brides, so gay with pride, isn't it wondrous they somehow survive?
Legal same-gender marriages may now seem unusual, but wedding jitters are universal. Julie and Hillary nearly omitted the Reverend William G. Sinkford's all-important pronouncement when the couple forgot the appropriate kissing order.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will love and respect you through all the changes of our lives.
I will love and respect you through all the changes of our lives.
Forever giving thanks that we found each other.
Forever giving thanks that we found each other.
Till death do we part.
Till death do we part.
Sorry.
We weren't supposed to kiss you.
They couldn't wait. Annie, would you bring the rings forward?
I forgot.
We forgot this part.
We practiced the kiss part.
Okay.
Thank you, sweetie. I guess that's why you have a rehearsal. Got it.
Okay. These rings are unbroken circles, and they symbolize in some way the circle of love in which you have chosen to live for the rest of your days. You may exchange the rings.
Thanks.
And say,
with this ring, I thee wed. With this ring, I thee wed. A little sweaty.
Yeah. Okay.
And now, inasmuch as you have testified to your ongoing love and commitment by the saying of vows and by the giving and receiving of rings, by the power vested in me by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I now pronounce you fully and legally married.
Three years later, the Goodriches have separated, albeit amicably, while the marriage rights pot continues to boil in Massachusetts. Lawmakers are dealing with a proposed state constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriages. A vote on the measure was postponed this week until at least mid-June, and lesbian gay activist groups believe there's a good chance of defeating it. Meanwhile, the state's new governor, Deval Patrick, has urged the legislature to repeal that 1913 law used to prevent lesbian and gay out-of-state residents from marrying in Massachusetts. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Don Lupo, Rick Watts, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, and Graham Underhill contributed program material. Janice Lieber and the Dixie Cups performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. You can listen online to This Way Out anytime, exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from listeners like you. Thank you. As we approach our 1,000th program, please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air. We literally can't go on without you. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on WEFT Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, CJSF, Burnaby, British Columbia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
We can't do it without you.
We need you to call in.
We have not been getting phone calls. The phones are not ringing. Jennifer,
the girls are lonely.
Yes, our volunteers, they feel like you're useless. They feel like there's no reason for them to be here because the phones weren't ringing.
Really?
And it makes us feel like there's no real reason for us to be here because obviously there's not enough people that care us being on the
my
air.
Gosh. Well, there was one person. We had a pledge out there,
one.
Yes.
But we could use many more.
We need many more.
And remember, somebody just brought us a slip of paper, and we want to thank
Michael.
Michael Frobel.
And he did not say, he took us up on that peace t-shirt as a premium, made a very generous pledge, which we appreciate very much.
Thank you very much, Michael.
He didn't make any other comments, but when you call, you can say, oh, you know, I really like that Jennifer Renee's on the radio because she's so pretty. And or we can say, I love hearing Glenn's deep, sexy voice. There's something about that Canadian, you
and
know?
Hearing Deborah Bell sing.
Yeah, well, the diva. Now, you don't want to hear anything. We have established
No, we
that.
Promise. If you will pledge now, we won't let Deborah sing.
I'm telling you. I mean, if they really knew how bad it was, they would be ringing those phones off the hook to keep me from singing.
They would think it's feedback, but it isn't.
I have to tell you a funny story.
Okay.
I got a phone call at my mother's where I was staying 3 years ago, which is not in Houston. And my mother didn't have my new cell phone number. So she was giving whoever called my numbers because they said they were with the Ellen DeGeneres show. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't she just get a number? But, okay, she's 83 and, you know, I love her to pieces, but...
Maybe she was afraid Ellen was hitting on you.
Well, maybe. I should, you know, have Ellen hit on me. She's got that lovely Porsche girlfriend. So my sister calls me to tell me that I had this call. And I'm like, well, okay, I don't know why they were calling. And, you know, I've entered some contests, but the ones I've entered would have my current information. And how do we know it was really someone from the Ellen DeGeneres show? Whatever. But I did send an email courtesy of the Ellen DeGeneres website saying, you know, here's my current information. They did try to call me, but I was out walking the dog.
Okay.
So, left a message. I called the number back. I have to leave them a message, right? So, that was Friday. And so, today, I get a call, and it's Christina with the Ellen DeGeneres show. And, of course, all this time I've been thinking, oh, I've won a cruise. I've won, you know, I'm going to be on the show, something.
What happened? Go on, tell us.
Well, during Mother's Day, they had an audience all of pregnant women. And they were giving away just like a household full of stuff.
Right.
Like a new washer and dryer. No, it was a bunch of baby stuff. But I figured, you know, you can always give it to as gifts and there's things. Well, I won 3 months' supply of Pampers and a subscription to Cooking Magazine.
How much cooking you do?
Yeah. Well, I do. I'm a good cook and I like to cook. But you know, I thought, well, okay, is there anything I could have less use for than Pampers? I don't think so. So
you can donate them to the women's shelter.
Well, actually, I was thinking of donating them to Casa de Esperanza.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that
yes.
is what I'll do is donate
That's,
them. But I just thought it was really funny, you know, because several people that I had said, oh, the Ellen DeGeneres, I was saying, Dolling for Dollars is trying to reach
me.
I was saying, oh, Lord, once by Make Color TV. Ellen DeGeneres is trying to reach me.
I've heard that story.
Mm-hmm. And so our lovely guest, Carol Wyatt, she just flashed in.
And I missed her flashing?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, God. That'd be the most exciting thing that's happened to me all day.
Video, we will talk about this year's GLBT Pride Parade and Festival. And come on in, Carol.
Come on in, Carol. Sit right down here.
Hello.
You know, we've been tap dancing for an hour.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. We had other guests that were early, and so they were able to go on. And so what you been doing?
Tonight? I don't really have a good excuse.
When did you start? You were born.
No. What you've been doing as the Houston Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Parade and Festival and Event.
That's where I was tonight. I was planning some of our events.
I understand we're having one this year.
We are.
Oh, really? Tell us about it.
Well, let me let me tell you. I was born. Let me start off by the events leading up to our fabulous nighttime parade and festival during the day.
June 23rd.
June 23rd, absolutely. Still a long West timer. Okay, so for right now, our Pride Idol events are still going strong.
Explain what that is.
Yeah,
you know,
tell us.
That it's like an American Idol competition, live musical performance competition, and we're holding them over at Guavalamp, and they're going very well. We've got great competitors. We're drawing a great crowd. A competitor gets eliminated each time, so the tension is building.
How many started off? How many were in the initial group?
Well, I want to say eight, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, you always start off with a question I don't know the answer to, Deborah, and thank you
it's
for that.
It's just a trick that I have.
I was so prepared to come in this time and say Lone Star Pride, because that's the question you asked me last
Oh, that's right.
So anyway, this will
be queer, and we're proud to be Texans.
That thing.
Yeah.
So it's a multi-stage talent competition leading up to the finals on the main stage at the festival on parade day. And Kimberly Caldwell, who is a former American Idol semifinalist, native of Houston, will be hosting that event on the main stage.
And will she also be performing?
She will. She'll be performing a couple of things. So that's an exciting thing leading up.
Are all these people singers, or are there other kind of...
They're all singers.
Okay.
We were hoping for all mimists, but there are not that many gay mimists. Go figure.
No. We tried to interview one time here on the show.
I guess that didn't go well.
Yeah. We sort of dead air. We were going to have to tonight, as a matter of fact.
I sent my mime partner. Apparently she didn't show up, right? So anyway, Pride Idol is going on.
And when is the next? Where are you in the process? It's like,
you know, we're kind of midway. You'll need to check the Pride website to get all of the information about the dates, because there's too many for me to my pea brain to remember.
PrideHouston.org.
PrideHouston.org. And I'm getting some feedback, some sound stuff going on.
Oh, and I'm not. Let's see.
I think it was just a door open or something.
Okay.
I can barely focus as it is. Yes. All right. So the next thing going on, all the things I have to tell you are fabulous.
We're just short of a month away, Carol.
Oh, thank you. Do you see the gray hairs? But, you know, I got to tell you a little aside note. We have the most exciting, talented, committed group of volunteers that I have ever seen in Pride Houston. I mean, there are over 80 people now affiliated and working hard every day to make Pride happen. By parade day, we will be 200 or so. And so the momentum is building.
You do need more, so if someone's interested in doing that.
Yeah, we've got plenty of stuff to do just for parade day. You don't have to commit to show up for committee meetings and things.
Oh, good.
Yeah, just I know a lot of us, including me, don't like committee meetings. Don't know how I ended up being president. You would think I would have spotted that as a problem, but anyway,
can't do it by conference call.
I wish. But if you're interested in volunteering, so we'll take little detours here. Message us at info@pridehouston.org. Say you want to volunteer on parade day. We've got shifts starting as early as 6:30 in the morning all the way till past midnight. So even if you're involved with other things that day, You can come work an early spot with us and then go on and do the other stuff you need to do.
Now, the last 2 years, I worked with the bleachers. One time I was a bleacher captain, and another time we sold tickets for the mm-hmm. bleachers. Yet, when I looked on the list of things you needed, that one wasn't listed. So does that mean someone's already assigned to that?
Yes.
I thought maybe I would have, you know, a shot because I was...
It's a hotly...
A radio personality.
Well, no, because I had done it before.
It's a hotly...
And I signed up last year right away to do it again.
Yeah.
So I would...
Yet again, you've caught me speechless. Uh-huh. We will have some bleacher seating. It won't. We're struggling with space, and as the Friends of Pride bleachers continue to grow, we have to eat into the space of the general admission bleachers a little bit. But check the website; you can buy tickets online. And our Pride in Action volunteers are handling the bleacher seats this year as a volunteer group to manage that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get back to the calendar because we're kind of bouncing
yes.
around.
That's the way she has it in her head; it's all laid out. Chronologically,
I'm very chronological sometimes.
I've heard that
June 10th.
Yes.
June 10th, our kickoff party.
Uh-huh.
Get this.
This is cool.
Okay.
This is very cool.
Cool.
This is major cool.
This is very cool.
Everyone listen.
At the Museum of Natural Science. Doesn't that sound boring? It's the Dinosaur Museum. How cool is that?
That is.
We're going to be partying amongst the dinosaurs, and I am not just talking about Ray Hill.
And the fossils.
The fossils, right.
No.
So we'll have live music. We'll have Special K as the DJ. Miss Coffee is going to be the host. Just a lot of excitement. It's only $10 to come in, and there's going
to
be
like
food.
We don't like to give prices on commercial-free radio.
I'm sorry. If you were paying a price, it'd be $10, but we're not going to mention that. And a cash bar and some food, and just a fun afternoon. Now, this is cool. It's on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, June 10th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So, come on. I know you don't have another excuse. And it's a way to kick off the celebration of Pride in a venue that's just a fabulous and fun venue. And thanks to our friend Sean Carter, who is one of our board members, who is an employee at the... Can I say that? Is
yes,
that a problem?
I think that's okay.
Okay.
If it's cool with Sean, and I'm sure that it is.
Okay.
He doesn't shy away from having his name mentioned.
So he's an employee at the museum, and he helped make that happen for us. Now... Scrolling forward, because
mm-hmm.
the momentum is building, right?
It's the 10th now.
All right. Friends of Pride wine tasting party.
Mm.
This is our signature thank you event for people who have given us money to support our efforts and become Friends of Pride. The wine tasting will be held at one of the storied social and business clubs of Houston downtown, the Houston Club, not Club Houston, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Yeah, we won't go there. But just a lovely venue. We've grown from 4 to 6 wineries this year, pouring over 20 different wines for you to taste. We'll even have a vodka tasting, premium vodka tasting station this year. Red Bull will be there with their ice sculpture and champagne fountain, which is totally cool. Of course, an extensive buffet. It's a wonderful evening, but the only way you get an invitation is to be a Friend of Pride.
Mm.
And those start at $75.
There she goes again.
Oh.
With those.
Okay,
just go to the website if you'd like to find out becoming a Friend of Pride, which means that you give a little extra to support the organization.
Thank you for filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
All right, so then we get to Parade and Festival Day. So that's Saturday, June 23rd. The festival starts at 2 p.m., runs to 8 p.m. The entrance to the festival is at Commonwealth and Westheimer, right by the light bulb store across from the McDonald's. I'm diagramming for those of you on the radio.
Right.
I'm diagramming with my hands.
Please close your eyes and imagine.
Or as one of my friends said, visualate.
Yes.
Yeah. Visualize.
Visualize. I
visualize.
Like that word.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I can visualize things, sometimes not so much. Nemesis is our headliner. I have to admit, as an old fart, I didn't have a clue. But I am told that they are on a hit logo TV series this year, focusing on the lives of... It's a reality show focusing on gay twins who are Mormon and entertainers and coming out, and they are living their
whole process.
They're living the whole thing. I think they just recently got community
really on their dream. How odd can we make it as a reality show?
Yeah, but you know, the kids who the young kids, as it were, know the Nemesis name. They're excited
those
about
youngsters.
It. Those youngsters, and they have a hit song out. Don't have a clue what it is, but they do, and so we're hoping about it.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. And in addition to more food, more fun, more entertainment, I got to give a shout out to our friends at Walgreens, who I'm not going to mention the dollar amount, but they are hosting a wellness pavilion this year. And so for the first time,
great. This is something new.
And they really stepped up for us. And you can come in and get screened for a variety of different conditions and illnesses. You can get counseling for different things. Our friends at LHI, American Heart Association, and Legacy Clinic are going to actually be staffing the tent. I think it's going to be popular if for no other reason than it's air conditioned.
That could be an incentive.
You know, I have to admit, we really debated about this because, you know, the festival is supposed to be a fun afternoon, and that's a serious topic. But as we thought about what our festival is all about, we thought people in Houston have access to these kinds of testing things that maybe people from the outlying areas don't. And we know that we draw people from
right.
a lot of different places. And to be able to be confidentially tested and counseled, we thought was just a very important thing.
Yeah, well, the Pride, GLBT Pride, is about community. And that speaks community more than anything I can think of, is because many of the organizations are going to be there at the festival. Many of the supportive companies will be there. And then having that, and also the history tent.
Yep, the history tent.
I think that's just a very exciting project and really should grow and be something that is integral to Pride throughout the year.
Yeah, actually, we're in our second year of the history tent. Also air-conditioned. I expect it will be popular. Hosted by the John Stephen Kellett Foundation and a variety of artifacts from our history. Interestingly enough, I got a request from one of our sponsors earlier in the year who said, I'd like to know something about the history of Pride. And I realized we didn't really have a crisp history. And I messaged Jack Valinsky, who had been for so many years a part of our organization.
And who is the Grand Marshal this year.
Absolutely.
Along with Maria Gonzalez.
That's
we
right.
We can give a shout-out. Happy birthday.
Woo! Happy birthday,
happy
Maria.
Birthday tomorrow.
I hope you're practicing your float wave, because we are going to be judging. Anyway, I'm partial to Tits Teeth Tiara. That's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah,
you have to kind of see the visual there.
Yeah. You're actually, that's one of the words you're not supposed to say on the radio.
Sorry.
No.
Well,
Tiara?
I won't tell you which one, no.
Yeah. So I'm just batting 1,000 tonight, aren't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
But anyway, I messaged Jack and asked him if we had a history, and he said, no, we really...
Do we have a history? I mean, did we have one... Prepared.
Written.
Thank
you. Okay.
History.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
We have a history. That's how we got here.
I think we could have inferred that. But he said, no, we don't. And I wish that you would take it on as a project while those of us who are still alive to tell it can tell it.
From us old folks.
And I thought, well, that's a call to action, isn't it? And so I sent out a solicitation in one of our recent email blasts for Pride Houston. And I've got 4 or 5 people who are very eager to take on this task of writing not only the history of Pride Houston, but the history of the gay movement in Houston. And I think it's going to be very
actually,
powerful.
There are some theses and papers that have been written, because I've been interviewed for them by graduate students and stuff. So it would be a good opportunity for anyone that has material to make sure that it's put in the hands so that it can be archived
right.
and kept.
So any of you who have any of that kind of information, funnel it through me and I'll get it to the history team.
And
it's going to be an ongoing project. I mean, this is not a short-term deal.
Yeah.
They really want to do a good and thorough job of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another example of the ways that we're trying to serve the community. And get
and
information.
I have to say, there is a book by David Carter called Stonewall, which is the true story of the events that happened in June of 1969 that led to what became the modern day gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement. And I highly recommend the reading of that book.
Yes.
To understand. And we are a people with a culture and with a history, and that's what our celebration is about. And it's a great day to come out and meet other people and to celebrate and to learn things and to have fun.
You know,
show your pride.
There you go. Pride's mission is to commemorate, to celebrate, and to educate. And most of you know about the parade. Not many of you know about the festival, and it's in its budding stages, but still.
This will be the third year.
This will be the third year.
They've had the festival in conjunction with the parade. There have been other events previous years, different incarnations, but this is something that has grown from the first year, and such as having the performers. And
right, physically located very close to the parade, and time-wise very located close as well. And I think that there, you know, think about the way you socialize in a parade. You come and stand in your favorite spot, and maybe you chat up the people next to you, and maybe you sashay up and down the block a little bit. But when you come to a festival, you're interacting with people all day long, right? In a much more, well, interactive way.
And in a community manner. Yeah.
And then we get to see all our friends on the floats and walking in the parade.
There you
go. Or some of us are in the parade and
waving at the people waving at us.
So organizations who may, you're in the parade, you get that 30 seconds pass by when you're waving at people. At the festival, you get a chance to really tell people about what your organization is about, what you need from the community, what you give to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the festival is very important for that reason. Plus, it's a chance to have more fun, to socialize. All good things, right?
Okay, we want to thank Carol Wyatt, president of Pride Houston, for being with us tonight, telling us about the 2007 Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Parade and Festival, June 23rd, 2007. Starting off at...
Is there a calendar that they can find online?
Yes, check the Pride website, pridehouston.org. The festival runs from 2 to 8. The parade starts down at Lanier Middle School at 8:45.
Yes. Or
and for those of you
broken the tradition,
for those of you
being in our community, that starts
it may end late, but it'll start on time.
I know so many people in the middle of the parade go, "It does not start on time." Well, it does start on time, but it starts on time way down there, and you're way down here. So it will get to you when it gets to you. By the way, we're doing a bunch of stuff this year to move the parade more efficiently. The politicians aren't walking, they're in cars, and Bill White hated that idea because he loves socializing with the community. But to keep the parade moving, we wanted all the politicians in cars. We're doing some things different with the entertainers this year, too. We're doing things to help the people who are in our parade spice up their entries. We've got free consultants to help you think about ways, whatever your budget is, to make your entry more entertaining. So we've heard the community. We're trying to address those issues.
Well, great. And again, thanks for being with us on Queer Voices. And we'll check with you again in June before the actual day off. But thanks for being with us. And we're going to a short musical break, and then we'll come back with Paul Scott from Equality, Texas.
Thank you.
So he's holding me in his arms, and he's giving me sweet little kisses, and he's telling me he'll never harm me, and he's whispering how wonderful this is. And I tell him that I love him, and I tell him I'll be true, and I've said these things to other boys, but right now the old words feel so new. And I ask him, how did I get so lucky? I didn't even have to try. I don't know, he says, I'm nothing special, I'm just some guy. And he's smiling like he means it, and he's stretched out on his back, and
this time I can't keep track. And I watch his eyes as they shine. Run my fingers through his hair. And I touch his chest where his heart is. And I tell him I find safe haven there. And I ask him, how did you get to be so sweet and so kind? So sweet and so kind. He says, I'm nothing special, I'm just some guy. And I say, your heart is so big, and your mind so alive, your mind so alive.
That is a song titled Just Some Guy from the artist Anthony Rapp and from his album Look Around from the year 2000.
Hello, we have on the line Paul Scott from Equality, Texas. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for holding for so long.
Thank you, Paul.
We had to do some flipping of our schedule tonight with our guests, but we're so glad that you've joined us. And you're the executive director of Equality Texas, formerly known as the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby, and that is the premier group in Austin that lobbies on behalf of the GLBT population.
That's right. Welcome,
and
Paul.
How has the 80th legislature been? Have we survived it?
7 days ago. It's really been an interesting legislative session this time around, and for multiple reasons. This is my first year as executive director being with Equality Texas, and we're the statewide organization working across the state with groups such as the ones in Houston and in Dallas and across the state to try to move forward on LGBT equality in Texas. And as we know in Texas, some of that is about also being defensive or doing defensive work on issues as well. And I think what's really been interesting about this session is the first session in a long while where we've had no anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender bills filed.
That makes me kind of nervous.
Well, we only got 7 days left, so not much more time to be nervous at all. And we have not had any anti-LGBT amendments filed to any of the bills either. And a lot of this has to do with the work that we're trying to do on a consistent basis with our new political director by splitting the roles and responsibilities from the executive director with the political director. We're able to cover more ground where I can work externally as well as work at the Capitol. We have our political director now that's working at the Capitol pretty much 24/7 sometimes.
And who is that? Like.
His name is Randall Terrell,
That's right.
He is a litigation attorney. Is his background, and he's just really avid, a supporter of LGBT rights and equality rights across the board in his past, and comes from a history or a family of advocates, actually.
Well, in the beginning, this is Jennifer, we talked about some bills that were going to be submitted that were, GLBT-friendly bills, non-discrimination and the like, and I did go up there
lobby.
For one of them and lobby. We went to lobby day, but I went up there and testified before one of the committees. How are any of those bills doing?
Well, at this point in time in the session, we are at the last throes of the session. So any of those bills, most of the bills that had any type of pro-LGBT aspect to them, they're now dead. And
they died in committee?
They died in committee, or they were left pending committee. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I was there with Jennifer when she testified on the insurance non-discrimination bill. And really, this is, as we all know, this is a long-term investment in equality. And this doesn't happen overnight. And, as a community at large, starting with the Stonewall riots and moving forward, we really have made a tremendous amount of progress in a very small amount of time. You look at the history of equality and civil rights in this country. So we know that it takes time, it takes investment, and really it's been a positive experience being able to have hearings on insurance non-discrimination, hearings on non-discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, as well as putting forth testimony on getting a hate crime study to see how the James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Act is being enforced or not being enforced, is really what we think. So we've had an opportunity, actually, to have hearings and have testimony and to have conversations with legislators that have never had the opportunity to talk about these issues or hear about these issues. And that's where Jennifer and the group of people that came up and talked on the insurance non-discrimination bill, it was very effective, because I think that was the first time that most of those legislators heard testimony from transgender persons.
So a lot of what you did this year really may bear fruit 2 years from now.
Well, exactly.
Lays the groundwork for future work.
Right, and then a lot of the work that we're doing this year really was focused on moving forward on testimony on these key pieces of legislation, and then also doing defensive work in advance of any type of amendment or any type of bill that would try to restrict LGBT rights. And that's one thing that we're hearing from our friendly legislators, as well as the ones that we're trying to move, is the assessment of the legislators is that this has been a good session for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community. They feel positive about it, because for them not to have to have anti-LGBT bills is a good thing, and they like that. So that is turning the tide a little bit, so that we can regroup and continue to move forward, as opposed to being pushed back as we have in the past. And we can't control that, and we can only do sometimes react, because that's thrown at us, such as the marriage amendment and such as the foster care and the adoption bans.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
One of the things that you were working on, and for some reason my mind has gone blank on the name of the bill. It was named after some little girl that had committed suicide after being harassed, having to do with the safe schools.
Yes, that was House Bill H-833. That was a Harold Dutton bill. And unfortunately, that
bill...
What was
the child's name?
Corinne was her name.
Corinne's, yeah.
Yeah.
And we really worked hard on pushing that bill, even though it was not LGBT specific. We still felt like it was a good bill, in the sense that it did provide some greater reporting on harassment and enforcement. It covered the school buses and school bus stops. And
Excuse me, Paul. Yep. That would be kids that are being harassed or bullied for any number of reasons. I mean,
including cyberbullying.
Right.
And that's why this poor Corinne was a girl that was bullied and harassed because she played sports and did that type of thing, and her classmates teased her, and they set up a website, I believe, and teased her there, and it drove her to depression, and then she committed suicide, and her mother was very active in this bill. I do have to say that we as an organization were very effective in moving our membership, as well as legislators, on this bill, because we lobbied to get this on the calendar. I mean, it was sitting in calendars committee, and we had our folks called Beverly Woolley, who is chair of the calendars, and we did an action alert, and we were the only organization working on this bill on a formal basis. So we really were trying to push this so that we could at least get some sort of acknowledgement and some sort of protection out there for kids. And it's really necessary.
Tell folks how they can sign up for the action alert. Of course, you'll be kind of dormant a little bit between the legislative sessions, but there'll still be things that you'll be working on. But I get those alerts, and it helps me keep track of what's going on in Austin, as does the virtual capital that comes from the Austin American Statesman and Katie Vitale with the Texas National Organization for Women, the legislative liaison. So there's lots of ways to get information. The Texas Freedom Network, they put out excellent information. So tell folks how they can get involved with Equality Texas and things that they can take part in, maybe moving us on to the next session.
Yeah, the website is equalitytexas.org. And you can go on to the website and go to the Take Action section, and you can sign up to be a member. And you can tailor your your membership so you can receive information, whether it's events or whether it's volunteer opportunities or educational opportunities and or action alerts on legislative issues. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of tailor how you want to receive communication from us. And it's very simple. It's the web these days, and so it's really easy to sign up. And one thing we try to be do this year in particular with this legislative session is to increase the quality of our communication, maybe not the number of communications that we have, but at least the quality, and try to engage our membership more, because we can only invest, you know, in the fight for equality what the membership kind of gives back to us, because in the reality is it takes people like Jennifer and Jack and other people in the Houston community and throughout the state to really make that difference and make that connection with their representatives. That's where we're going to make the change, at the local level and at the statewide level.
Isn't that part of it? In between sessions, you can go to your individual, make an appointment with your individual representative or senator. Even if they haven't shown themselves to be GLBT friendly in the past, you are a constituent. And, you know, you can go in there and say your piece, and what they do with it is one thing or another, but at least they've seen a member of the GLBT community expressing their feelings.
Well, they don't know. Yeah, they don't. We've always been such a hidden community. They may not even realize how many of members of our community are their constituents.
Oh, yes. And for me, and as far as the transgenders community, most of them have never met a transgender.
That they know of.
Well, yeah, that's true. They, you know, they probably knew a lot more of us than they knew.
Because they thought they did.
I understood, or there was some rumor going around, there was a possibility of a special session. What's happened on that?
Well, there are lots of rumors going around.
It's always the case.
Yes.
There may be a special session on moratoria on the transportation. The governor had his veto today of the moratorium on the toll roads and the transportation bill. And so that may be a basis for a special session. They have a number of abortion bills, basically, is the best way of putting it, that are still on the calendar for today and tomorrow, or tomorrow and the next day, to get read. And actually, tomorrow by midnight is the deadline for second readings of bills from the other house. And there are two controversial abortion bills that are on the calendar. And if that doesn't go through, the governor may call a special session on that issue, but there's really not a lot of talk about that. But that could be an issue. But the transportation seems to be the biggest issue at this point.
Now, is this moratorium on all toll roads, or is it just the Trans-Texas boondoggle?
It's not just the Trans-Texas system. It's also other toll roads as well, but there's a lot of carve-outs on that based upon current projects. And I have not gotten to the absolute details on that, but it is a little bit more expansive than the Trans-Texas corridor.
Well, anytime it says trans, I immediately perk my ears up.
Well, so we did
give your special highway.
That's right.
Yeah, we didn't have any big wins, but we didn't have any big losses either this session.
Well, that's not the case, actually. Today we had a comprehensive Child Protective Services bill that was from the Senate. Jay Nelson had the bill in the Senate, and it came through the House through Patrick Rose's committee. Patrick Rose is the representative from Dripping Springs, and it was a perfect vehicle for an attachment of a foster care ban of gays and lesbians. And we have been working all session long, day in and day out, with our legislators, particularly on this bill, knowing that it's coming up. And Patrick Rose, who voted with the Tolson Amendment last session and got a lot of heat for it and said he was wrong and said he was going to help us out, has helped us out this session. And we spent a lot of energy and time working behind the scenes to move a lot of legislators, and we've had multiple conversations with Republican representatives, moderates, urban Republicans, conservative Democrats on this issue, seeing how we can make sure that we're protected and to stop it. We wanted to make sure it didn't come up. And today that bill came up for discussion around 6:30 this evening, and we were up there making sure that we were still communicating with our allies on this, saying, please be prepared for it. But by working with the bill authors, We wanted to make sure that nothing came up, and it was all very controlled, and no anti-LGBT foster parent amendment has come up.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
Well, thank you, Paul, and thanks all the folks there at Equality Texas for the work that they do, and thank you for being with us tonight on Queer Voices.
Good night.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Now, next week, J.D. Doyle has on his Queer Music Heritage, Transgender Music and Artists.
That's right. And I'm going to be interviewing George and Chris, that are both female to male transgenders, as well as Celia Chung with the Transgender Law Center of San Francisco. And we're going to talk about the new transgender police commissioner, Teresa Sparks.
And thanks so much to our guest tonight, Carol Wyatt, the late Carol Wyatt, who finally made it in.
That's not to say that she's dead. She was just late arriving.
She was busy with organizing a GLBT
Pride Deb Murphy with Hatch.
Adriana Perez and Dennis Draper from the Alley Theater act out this Thursday night at the 24th. And thank you.
Of course. Well, and Paul Scott, who just executive director of Equality Texas.
And thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, all the folks that are part of making Queer Voices work. The Ernesto and Eddie and Matt and Steve and some of the other folks that helped us out. And I hope that you will pledge your support for the station for Queer Voices, 713-526-5738. It's not too late.
That's right. Right.
And we appreciate you listening. Tune in next Monday night for another edition
of Queer Voices.
Memorial Day.
Yes, and I'll be here.
You have been listening to Queer Voices. Heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Hotep, this is Harold Johnson, a.k.a. the Black Lotus. Listen up, all you poets, artists, so-called MCs, writers, and scholars. Come check out the legendary master wordsmith Amiri Baraka on Saturday, June the 9th at 8 p.m. at the Miller Outdoor Theater in Herman Park. That's the Kings and Queens of Spoken Word, Saturday, June 9th, 8 p.m., Miller Outdoor Theater in Herman Park, featuring the legendary Amiri Baraka. For more information, visit us at www.mochasuite.com. That's www.mochasuite.com.
This event is sponsored in part by the City of Houston through the Miller Theater Advisory Board. You're listening to KPFT 94.1 FM Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.